It's bad enough that the Trump regime is trying to rig the election by crippling the post office's ability to handle mail-in ballots. But what if you can't get a ballot to begin with, either in the mail or at the polls, because your name has been purged from the voter rolls?
The voter rolls have been bleached whiter than white. Young people, voters of color, etc., have been losing their votes, and they don't know it. This is the key. And especially as we move to mail-in balloting, if you're not registered, you ain't getting no ballot. And if you don't get your ballot mailed out to you, you can't mail it in.
That's Greg Palast. We talk with him about his new book on protecting the vote, How Trump Stole 2020, The Hunt for America's Vanished Voters. Then we hear from election security attorney Robert Fitrakis. And finally, a poem by Maya Angelou. That's all coming up on today's Writer's Voice. In-depth conversation with writers of all genres, on the air since 2004. Thanks for joining us this hour on this station and at writersvoice.net. I'm host and producer Francesca Rhiannon. $16.7 million. That's the number of voters investigative reporter Greg Palast estimates have been lost to the voter registration rolls over the past 2 years as a result of overzealous purges of likely Democratic voters by Republicans in office. And that's only one of a panoply of actions by Trump and Republicans to destroy the fundamentals of democracy, one person, one vote, and making sure every vote is counted. In his new book, How Trump Stole 2020, Palast lets us in on the nasty secrets of the assault on democracy by Trump and his GOP supporters. Palast has been working with Stacey Abrams and her organization Fair Vote in Georgia. He was the reporter who busted the theft of Florida in 2000 for The Guardian. He's the author of several previous books on protecting the vote, including The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, which we spoke with him about in 2016. Well, Greg Palast, it's great to have you back on Writer's Voice.
Glad to be with you.
This new book now, How Trump Stole 2020, frankly, it's a terrifying title. It's subtitled The Hunt for America's Vanished Voters. 7 million vanished voters, actually. Is that right?
Well, first of all, understand that How Trump Stole 2020 is not a prediction. I don't have a crystal ball. I'm an investigative reporter. I'm telling you it's already been stolen by vanishing voters. We have eliminated 16.7 million voters from the voter rolls. Not all of those are voters that should not have been removed, but about half of them. So we have a massive, massive purge of the voter rolls. So they have vanished. And that's where our investigation begins. But it's not just vanished voters. We also have ballots that are, you could say, vanished. And what I mean by that is that there's an agency in the United States called the Elections Assistance Commission, which tracks our registrations, our votes, and our non-votes. It also tracks the number of people who are wiped off the voter rolls. That's why in the last 2 years of records, they've said 16.7 million people have lost their registration quietly. While we're talking about all kinds of other stuff like mail-in votes and blah, 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 we're not talking about the fact that the voter rolls have been bleached whiter than white. Young people, voters of color, et cetera, have been losing their votes and they don't know it. This is the key. And especially as we move to mail-in balloting, if you're not registered, you ain't getting no ballot. And if you don't get your ballot mailed out to you, you can't mail it in. This is the number one problem with mail-in voting. People who don't realize that they're not going to get a ballot, that they're going to lose their vote because they're not registered. So that's number one. And number two, we reject ballots all the time. Mm-hmm. Officially, 1,913,369 ballots were cast in 16 and not counted. That's the government's figure, the EAC. Now, there's more provisional ballots. 2.4 million people were shunted to these kind of placebo, wacky, what are they ballots called provisional ballots. 925,000 of those ballots were thrown in the garbage. That's just short of a million, Francesca. And now I'm not even counting the mail-in ballots, which is a disaster course, plus registration purged. You've got 600,000 people who were bounced from voter stations in 16 because of ID that some official didn't like. So you've, in the end, you have about 2 million voters, 1.982 million voters who were blocked in 2016, 5.8 million votes not counted. And it, that is nothing compared to what's going to happen for the 2020 election.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it seems impossible that we're going to actually be able to have a real vote. But let's dive.
No. I want to tell people, and this is really, really, really important. They can't steal all the votes all the time. Now, I you know, when I was with Rolling Stone and I was co-writing with Bobby Kennedy, he could do something I couldn't do. He could call up Barack Obama and he said, "Do you understand all these votes are being stolen and you know, massive racial vote trickery?" He understood. Stood it down to the details. The thing is, he just said, well, we just overcome it. He was ripped off by about 5.9 million votes. We put that number out. No one's questioned it. It's quite solid. So Obama simply crushed it. They can't steal all the votes all the time. The worst state in America in terms of vote suppression is not Alabama. It's Wisconsin. And yet the Wisconsin voters threw out Scott Walker and his gang in 2018. So you can overcome the steal. Let's not get too freaked out here. Let's just get organized and prepared and basically steal back our election.
Okay. Well, that's great. So let's go on. You say, and here we're using your rubric, that Trump was reelected in 2020 in 2018, 2 years before a single ballot was cast. You say he was reelected president on November 7th, 2018. Why?
Because on November 7th, 2018, a guy named Brian Kemp, who is the 46th white governor of Georgia, was elected over Stacey Abrams, the first black woman to run for a governorship in American history. And Kemp supposedly won by a few thousand votes. But after he knocked off over 500,000 voters off the voter rolls, shockingly, mostly his young and darker skinned opponents' voters. Now, how did he remove these voters? Well, I mean, the excuse was good, which is that the voters moved. They left, you know, if you don't live in Georgia, I don't think you should be voting in Georgia. But were there really 500,000 people who moved? So I hired the top experts in addresses and moving in the United States, people who know where you live and where you've moved to, and it's called Amazon and eBay. And their experts went through the list name by name by name by name and said, you know what? Here's a list of 340,134 people who never moved, who were wrongly removed from the voter rolls. A third of a million people just flushed. Now, because it worked, they took it on the road. And that's how you ended up with 16 million people flushed from the voter rolls after 2018. They just simply sliced off millions of voters. So you had 500,000 in Georgia. Right now, like, for example, the one place of resistance right now is in Wisconsin, where I told you that the Republicans are throwing on their keister. The current Democratic administration is trying to avoid a Republican legislature's law that says they have to remove it now 152,000 people. In the state of Wisconsin, understand, 152,000, why is that significant? Because Trump only won Michigan by 22,000 votes. So they want to eliminate seven times his victory margin by bleaching out the voter rolls. And the people that they're removing, by the way, are centered in Madison, which is a University of Wisconsin, and in Milwaukee. What color is the average Milwaukee resident? You can guess. And that's how they have stolen the race. But we can take it back. We really can. We can expose it and protect our own vote. In the case of Wisconsin, believe it or not, the state government has asked me to help out by going through that voter list. And we have, and I can tell you right now, they're saying people have moved. They're using the same Georgia trick that won Georgia. They're trying to steal the entire nation. So they need to steal Wisconsin again. Well, you know who they've included in the people who supposedly moved? If you look at how Trump stole 2020, where I talk about stealing Wisconsin 2020, is a woman named Sequana Taylor. Now, it's true. She was guilty of voting while black in Milwaukee. But the question was, should she lose her registration because she's moved? So I said, well, if you left Milwaukee, you shouldn't be voting there. And she says, I don't think I've left Milwaukee. I'm Milwaukee County Supervisor. But she's Black. This is the games that they're playing.
If you've just joined Writer's Voice, we're talking with Greg Palast about his new book on protecting the vote, How Trump Stole 2020, The Hunt for America's Vanished Voters. The Supreme Court got involved with this Wisconsin vote as well. Yes. Are they involved in this? And so talk about the Supreme Court and how it seems they've been putting the thumb on all these GOP efforts for voter suppression.
Yeah, forget the wonderful Warren Court that protected Americans. This is a white citizens council right now. So they issued a ruling saying, indeed, you could remove people for moving, which is, hey, if you left Atlanta, you shouldn't vote in Atlanta. If you left Milwaukee, you shouldn't vote in Milwaukee. You left Detroit, you shouldn't vote in Detroit. Okay. But they said the state itself can come up with ways to measure it, like you didn't vote. Or they said, and what they were doing is, if you skipped a vote, they'll send you a postcard. Or they come up with all kinds of cockamamie reasons to say, we have information you've moved. Like you're a student who went home for the summer and had your mail forwarded home. They say, oh, you've moved. You've left. No, went home for the summer. You're still a voting student in Milwaukee. But what they did was, is they said, they send you a postcard. And if you don't respond to the postcard, they say, oh, you've moved away. Well, excuse me? That looks like junk mail. Deliberately designed. Our experts said this was designed to be thrown away. It's a crappy piece of cardboard, all black print, legalese that you have to fold three ways and sign. It's very strange. No one returns these cards. And therefore, when you throw away that card, if you even get it, you're throwing away your vote. It's just one of the tricks. It may sound complicated, but the Supreme Court approved this. Listen, the Supreme Court just a couple weeks ago said that Alabama could require mail-in voters to get two witness signatures or notarize their ballot. They're requiring you to notarize your ballot in Alabama and Missouri. And if you don't, you're going to lose your vote unless you notarize your ballot. Where do you even get a notary public during a lockdown? Plus, say the least, it's kind of a bit of a poll tax. No, it's about $15, right? Just to vote. And you got to, if you can find that notary public, and hopefully you stuck a swab down the guy's nose before he touches your paper so you know whether he has got the virus or not. It will literally kill people. A judge said this is insane, threw it out, went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they said, if you're in Alabama, you're going to pay money and you're going to die if you want to mail in your ballot.
Isn't that going to hurt Republican voters just as much as Democratic voters?
Not even close. Trump, are you ready for me to say something that's going to freak you out? Trump is right. Okay, Trump is right about this. Under the current rules, the crazy systems we have in most states for absentee voting, where you have to have witness signatures or affidavits, and you have to apply for it, and you have to have an excuse for it. And like in New York, you have to have an excuse why you're voting by mail. How about I don't want to die? Okay, so in states, they have all these obstacles to mail-in voting. But, and that has helped Republicans because lower-income people, students, et cetera, don't want to go through this paper chase, so they skip it. And it's expensive and difficult and not easy to do. But if you make mail-in voting universal, as we have in California and Oregon and Washington and Colorado and Hawaii, if you make mail-in voting universal, where just everyone gets a ballot through the mail and then you mail it back in, yeah, the Democrats will slaughter. He's absolutely right. The Republicans will be slaughtered, because the truth is, when people vote, they're not crazy about voting for Republicans. The higher the turnout, the less likely a Republican wins. And that's just the cold truth. And Trump has got that dead right. What he's got dead wrong is his attempt to stop people from voting. It's good if people vote, don't you think? It's called a democracy. It used to be called a democracy. I don't know. I thought that that's what they had in mind. We should try to help Americans vote and make it easy, but they don't. And take Wisconsin, okay? I just told you how they're trying to fix Wisconsin. For you to vote in Wisconsin as a student, and this is, there's a chapter in How Trump Stole 2020 called Wisconsin Eats Its Young. Wisconsin passed a law 2 weeks before the 16 election, or it didn't, excuse me, a court approved a law 2 weeks before the 16 election, saying that you had to have a state photo ID in order to vote. This is 2 weeks before the election. But guess what? the state photo ID issued by the University of Wisconsin was disqualified. The Republican legislature said you can't use your student ID. You have to get a special student ID, which requires the 182,000 Wisconsin students to go to their dean of students' office and get the new ID. That law is still there. And by the way, the dean of students' office to get the new ID, that's closed for the virus. So we just lost 182,000 University of Wisconsin students. Do you think that they're Trump voters? And then on top of it, 50,000, according to the University of Wisconsin study, 50,000 African Americans in Milwaukee area lost their vote to the new ID laws. Because who doesn't have a driver's license? People who don't own cars, people who don't drive. That means urban dwellers, people in apartment buildings, people who use buses. They're voters of color, and the color is blue. So they're trying to fix this election. They're doing everything they can with the IDs, with the purges, with the games that you have to play in order to vote or mail in your ballot. They're trying all these things. And if you're a University of Wisconsin student, you're gonna, and you get the new ID, you're going to have to mail it in, a photocopy of that new ID. You're going to have to mail it in with your ballot. And you're going to have, are you ready for this? Proof that you are enrolled in good standing.
Oh, God.
So imagine, okay, according to MSNBC, the election's coming down to Wisconsin, which Trump won by 21,000 votes, and he only won it by massive wipeout of the voter rolls, massive impediments to student voting, massive impediments to African-American voting, massive impediments to getting your vote counted. And that's what happened. That's how he took Wisconsin by a whisker. And so they're panicked. So they've got new terrorizing methods. And they know that if you mail in your ballot, they really got you.
Well, let's talk about that, because I saw a figure the other day that says something like 71% of Democrats intend to vote by mail, and only 24% of Republicans intend to do it because they've been scared by Trump. Talk about this. I mean, it seems that there are all kinds of ways. We've talked before on the show of all the ways that people's votes are suppressed when they go to the polls.
It's worse. It is so far worse. The vote suppression by mail, Jim Crow in the mailbox, is far worse than Jim Crow in the precinct. Now, wait a second. Is Greg Palast saying, don't vote by mail? No. No, never. Because you got to vote by mail, you're going to die. This is very, very, this is no joke. Okay, let's get real now. But I want to warn you. I want you to listen to the next number I'm going to give you from my chapter in How Trump Stole 2020. It's called Mail-In Madness. Here's the figure. 22% of all mail-in votes are never counted. That's according to the MIT study I have in the book. 22%, one in five mail-in votes does not get counted. So if 74, you do the arithmetic, 74% of Democrats say that they're going to vote by mail. So if 22%, one in five of those votes don't get counted, well, who's reelected president? This is the SAT here. Who's your reelected president if we do mail-in voting without any improvements in the system, without any new protections? So you're going to have to, we're going to have to come up with protections for the system, but I'm asking everyone to get the book for another reason. I need you to protect your own vote. That's where we start. We start with our own vote, our family's votes, our friends' votes.
And we're talking with Greg Palast about his new book on protecting the vote, How Trump Stole 2020. So how do we do that?
Yes, we do.
Because I don't think Mitch McConnell is going to let any bills pass that are going to help us actually improve vote by mail. And Trump is doing everything he can to destroy the U.S. Postal Service before we even have the election. So how are we going to protect our own vote?
Okay, so we have to take this story into our own hands. Number one, especially if you're in New York, you're not safe in New York, especially from the Cuomo operation. As you know, we saw in 16 that 125,000 people in Brooklyn illegally lost their right to vote as they were purged from the voter roll. So this doesn't just happen in Georgia and Wisconsin, my friends. It happens in cool Democratic New York. Now, here's the problem. On Long Island, especially, we have a big wipeout of voters. So it's real simple. Go to the New York Secretary of State's website, New York Secretary of State's website. Or if you're in Connecticut, go to the Connecticut website, there, your county elections websites, or vote.org, and see if you're registered. Please do not tell me that you've been voting at the same place for 20 years and have had no problem. I was in Atlanta. First of all, I was in Brooklyn and Long Island in 16 when those voters were blocked from voting. They're all shocked. And I said, well, why don't you check your registration beforehand? I was in Atlanta when a 92-year-old woman who'd been voting at the same schoolhouse for 50 years was thrown out on her butt. They said, you're no longer registered here. Christine Jordan, Martin Luther King's 92-year-old cousin. This is Martin Luther King's cousin. Now, it's true she was guilty of trying to vote while black, but same voting station, 50 years. I knew that she was on the hit list. I tried to get to everyone I could. I put it up on our website. I did press conference. I did everything I could to try to warn people, check your registration. But why should people, just because they're people of color or young people, why should we have to? It's an ugly system, but that's what the system is. And you can either protect your, you can bitch or you can protect your vote. I'm going to suggest that you protect your vote.
Well, sure.
And that means going to your county elections board and making sure that you are registered. They've got your name right. And even if you've moved within your building, yes, you don't, you do not have to register, re-register if you move within your neighborhood. But if you don't, you're a dummy.
Yeah, and vote.org is very helpful. I went there.
Vote.org.
They sent me an absentee ballot, which I filled out, an absentee ballot application, which I filled out, and it's getting, it's on my door getting ready to be mailed tomorrow. But
great.
But vote by mail, I mean, just checking your registration is not going to protect your vote by mail.
Oh, yeah, it will. Because you know why? The number one way that people lose their vote, their ballot, is they never get them. If you are on the purge list, if you've been removed, like Mrs. Jordan, if she was expecting, if she wanted to vote by mail, she would have never gotten her ballot because she was purged. They're not going to send a ballot to someone who's been purged from the voter rolls. Furthermore, and this is really dangerous, even if they haven't purged you, many states are saying they're not going to send you that application for a mail-in ballot if you are on the so-called inactive list. That is, you skipped an election or two. Now, most people in America don't vote in anything but the presidential elections. That's the majority of Americans. But you miss a couple of elections, they won't send you the card that says, do you want an absentee ballot, even though you're registered? That's in Georgia, Ohio, and other swing states. So the number one way to protect your vote is to stay registered, because 1 in 10 people who ask for a mail-in ballot never get it. When I said 22% of mail-in ballots are never counted, it's because about half of those are people who never got their ballot or didn't get it on time. So you just don't get your ballot, so you can't mail it back in. So registration is the key. Re-registration, checking your registration, is the absolute key to getting your mail-in ballot and getting it counted. And very important, if you go to a state website and check your registration or re-register, you've now gone from, if you are inactive, you now are listed as active. So I know it's an insane, crazy system. My wife, who is a citizen of Switzerland, they don't have registration. They don't have any of this garbage. Everyone votes. In fact, if you don't, you get fined. And they can't believe the stuff that's pulled here. When my Swiss in-laws get my reports, because in the rest of the world, unlike America, I'm mainstream news, you know, top of the BBC, nightly news, etc. And so they see my reports. They go, oh my God, what are they doing in America? We thought it was a democracy.
So you've said about half of those 22%, it's a registration issue.
Yes.
But we also saw that there was a real meltdown in New York where people who were registered didn't get their ballot until after the election, or if they got their ballot, they got it so late. I mean, this happened to me. I applied February 1st for my ballot. I didn't get it until June 22nd, the day before the actual election. I went right away on June 22nd and I mailed my ballot in at the post office where it got postmarked. You know, from what I understand.
Was it counted?
Well, that I don't know.
In New York, you should be able to check if your ballot was in fact counted. Some states they do, and some states they don't even tell you. Hey, it's a mystery, right? Did we count your ballot? Who are you to ask?
Well, that's,
you know, it's like talking to the Soviet Comintern. You want to ask about your ballot, comrade? You don't want to ask about your ballot. This is a big problem. So I just told you, you're right. Even if you're registered. So the other thing I want you to do is do what you did. Apply as early as you can for your mail-in ballot. That doesn't mean you'll get it on time. You weren't alone. Jerry Thomas, missed his ballot. Again, another guy trying to vote while black. Now, was he unsophisticated and didn't know when or how to put in his request for mail-in ballot? I don't think so. His wife is Andrea Young, who's head of the ACLU of Georgia, a voting rights attorney. Look, if they can take out the family of the head of the ACLU and stop them from voting and play games, they'll do it to you. So, no, mail-in balloting is not a miracle, but it's all we've got. So we're going to have to protect our vote. So if they don't, if your ballot has not arrived within 3 weeks of the election, you call your county board of elections and you demand it. And you may have to go down and get it. And you're saying to me, well, wait, but the whole point is that you don't have to go down. That's why I'm mailing in my ballot. Well, wake up, Jack. This is America, not a democracy. You want to vote, you're going to have to play by their rules. And they don't want you to vote. So you're going to have to overcome hostility, obstacles, and just plain stupid bureaucratic aggravation, which often isn't even the politics. It's just we have such a crazy system of voting. But the only reason this crazy system of voting has remained is because the incumbent politicians got elected by this obstacle course Jim Crow nonsense, and they ain't given up their jobs so easily. You think, oh, are they going to just turn over the reins of government to Bernie Sanders? I don't think so. That ain't happening.
You say that most vote theft happens before the voting by the things we've been talking about, by preventing people from voting, the purge of the rolls, ID rejections, the provisional ballots, which, you know, some of them are counted, maybe not all of them.
About, as I said, 2.4 million provisional ballots were cast. Just short of a million were rejected. So you get a little less than half, 50-50 on gambling on your provisional ballot. So when that little old lady behind the counter says, oh, this ballot will count, she doesn't know because she ain't counting it. The chance is, you know, almost half that it won't be counted.
Right. And then, you know, add in the fact that they're closing down polling places and you've got lines that are like, you know, eight hours long. But you talked to someone who we've had on our show also, and that is Bob Fitrakis. And he showed you something that really creeped you out. So this is about the machines, the DRE machines. Explain that. And then is there anything we can do about them?
Plenty. Okay. Now, number one, yeah, DRE machines are direct recording electronic machines, otherwise known as computer touchscreen voting, right? Or as we sometimes call it in the biz, push and pray. You push the screen and you pray that they're going to count your vote, right? So to get rid of the push and pray element, a lot of states were actually banning touchscreen voting. So the touchscreen manufacturers came up with a damn good idea. They said, well, tell you what, we'll create something that's equivalent to paper so you can recount it. We're going to take an image. When you're done voting, you agree that that's your ballot. You take a photo of it, and there's a screenshot. It's time-stamped and it's numbered in order. So it's pretty hard to add ballots or remove them because they're time-stamped and numbered. The second thing is you can have anti-hacking software. Well, how smart is that? That's pretty simple. Here's the problem. Like machines like Simatic, which are that's the number one voting machine in America. So it has this cool stuff. But in Ohio in 2016, I went into court with voting rights attorney Robert Fitrakis in Columbus, Ohio, to observe. And he had found out that the counties were turning off the protection, the anti-hacking software, and they were turning off the ballot imaging software, the function. So in other words, they literally said, okay, yeah, we've got this function to protect the votes from hacking. We got the function to protect the vote from people from removing your vote or changing it or messing it with it because they're taking photos of your ballot. They simply turned off the safety mechanism. He went to court to ask a judge, my God, please order them to turn these features on. And they all said, oh, that's too expensive. That's too difficult. It's too last minute. Well, he showed me. All you have to do is when the machine gets turned on at the beginning of the voting day, and it says, do you want ballot imaging software? Yes or no? Just say yes instead of no. Do you want anti-hacking warning? Yes or no? So it's a chapter in How Trump Stole 2020 called The Amnesia Machine. So we're programming our machines not to remember your ballot. Why are we doing that? And now, look, I have to say, and some of my friends will be disappointed, say, I'm not sure that I've seen any real evidence of machine tampering through computers, like changing your vote through the computers. But I have a problem. Remember Greg Palast, I used to be an investigator. In fact, there on Long Island, I was the chief investigator on the Shoreham nuclear plant racketeering case. And I can tell you, as an old detective for the Justice Department, I can tell you that it's rare for someone to cover up a crime. If they haven't committed the crime, why are they covering it up? Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
There's no way of knowing if you've been treated because they turned off that software.
You have no way of knowing if you've been robbed. In other words, if someone says, okay, here's your bank, you stick your card into the ATM, we're not telling you how much we're taking out of it. Trust us. And believe me, losing 20 bucks off your bank card ain't nothing like losing the president that you chose.
Investigative reporter Greg Palast. We'll talk more with him about his new book, How Trump Stole 2020, after the break. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Writer's Voice. I'm Francesca Rhiannon. Check out the Writer's Voice podcast and newsletter at writersvoice.net. You can find more great content there, including web-only features like book recommendations and extended interviews. We're talking with investigative reporter Greg Palast about his new book, How Trump Stole 2020. The book's goal is to show American voters how to protect their vote and make sure the title's prediction won't come true. But it's going to take action on the part of every voter to go the extra mile to make sure they're registered to vote and that their vote is counted. In 2007, Harper's Magazine published a piece about a report that in the final weeks before the midterm congressional elections of November 2006, quote, presidential political advisor Karl Rove orchestrated a large-scale effort to suppress voter turnout among potentially Democratic constituencies. I asked Greg Palast about Karl Rove, who Palast calls by a pet nickname. So I've heard that Karl Rove has now been is now working with the Trump campaign. Is he still a threat?
Turd Blossom, absolutely. We have, in fact, I have a chapter in How Trump Stole 2020 called Turd Blossom Goes Crazy. And he's a very, very he's the guy who invented some of the most vicious and sophisticated Jim Crow operations and vote thieving operations. He created something called caging, where when he was at the Republican National Committee, he sent out hundreds of thousands of letters to voters. First class, do not forward. And if they came back, they would challenge the voter as not living at their registration address. Now, who do you send these letters to? Number one, he sent them to students during summer vacation when they were away and don't get their mail. And then they lost their vote. Second, by the way, a lot of Jewish snowbirds, you know, people who live in Florida in the winter and go back home to New York in the Long Island in the summer, and they lost their votes. He went after the elderly of Zion, right? Not because they're Jewish, but they're bluish. They vote Democratic, right? And same with the students. And then also he sent, to me, the most tragic thing is that they sent these letters to soldiers overseas. So African-American, Hispanic soldiers, airmen were sent letters to their home addresses. They weren't there because, of course, they've been shipped off to Iraq, and they lost their votes. Go to Iraq, lose your vote, mission accomplished. That's Karl Rove. Now he's advising Trump again. Really dangerous stuff. Really dangerous.
Now, Trump is threatening to delay, which actually means cancel, the election. What do you think about that?
No, he's not going to do that. And that's not what he's really trying to do. Okay, let's get to the real agenda here. You know, I know it's very easy to say, oh, he's a dummy. Don't underestimate him like we did Bush. Okay, he's not a dummy. He's a psychopathic narcissist. That's the official clinical diagnosis by Dr. Thayer Green. Thank you, Thayer, who's a clinical psychologist, PhD and minister. And then he diagnosed this problem. So he's psychopathic narcissist, but he's not a fool. He understands that he's trying to create mayhem for Election Day, mayhem, so that the votes don't get counted. He keeps saying fraudulent mail-in ballots, fraudulent mail-in ballots. Now, there's, you know, all the papers laugh and giggle and say, oh, there's no evidence of that. It doesn't matter whether there's no evidence. We, again, you've had 1.9 million votes that were cast and rejected. It's hard to reject ballots that are cast in precinct, but ones that are mailed in, 1 in 10 mailed in ballots get thrown out as rejected. They get challenged and rejected. 100,000 lost for postage due. You know, like 8 states require witness signatures, and you better make sure that that witness is an American citizen. How do you know that? You better make sure they don't have a virus either, man. Where's the witness signatures? Oh, they don't like your signature. You know, it's 600,000 people lost their vote because someone challenged their signature. Now, were there 600,000 fraudulent votes? No, they didn't arrest anyone, but they removed those signatures. So what he's doing is creating a situation where it's going to be mayhem. The post office will collapse. Hundreds of thousands of ballots will not have arrived in time to the voters. Not hundreds, excuse me, tens of millions of ballots will not arrive on time. If they couldn't get your ballot to you on time in New York when very few people were voting by mail, Francesca, what do you think is going to happen when Georgia is told to send black people their ballots? I'll tell you what will happen is what happened in June at the primary. They don't get their ballots. That's why they were in line, not because black people wanted to vote in line and get a virus, but because they didn't get their ballots. Now, that's by the millions. And then they'll come in late by the millions. They'll be stuck in the post office. They'll be mangled. They won't be postmarked. So how do you know when they arrive? And remember, the GOP is going to say, yes, it's true that the ballot arrived 3 weeks before the election, but it wasn't postmarked before the election. Therefore, it gets junked. It gets junked. Okay. Do you have control over whether the post office postmarks your ballot? No, you don't. Who has charge? The Postmaster General. Who does he work for? Is it becoming clear? They're not talking about what they want to do is create mayhem so that the game plan, and I'm telling you right now, write this down, the game plan is to not certify the vote in key swing states where it's close, where there's mayhem, and there will probably be riots, so that you have, for example, so Florida will say, we can't certify the vote, it's a mess. Michigan, Wisconsin, we can't certify the vote. Now, the Democrats are screaming, they're saying, but the polls, there won't be exit polls, but there'll be a day of election polls. Day of election polls showed that Biden is winning in Florida. Biden's winning Michigan, Wisconsin. But they have rabid Republican legislatures. Those legislatures will not certify the vote. They'll say it's too much mayhem. Mayhem, which they've created. And no one will get 270 votes. Now, I'm sure that you've memorized the 12th Amendment, but do you understand what happens under the 12th Amendment to the Constitution if no one gets 270 votes in the Electoral College?
Yeah, it goes to the Supreme Court, right?
Nope. Good guess. No one knows what the 12th Amendment is, by the way. So don't worry. You haven't flunked the SAT because no one's ever heard of the 12th Amendment. We all know the 2nd Amendment, the 1st Amendment. We don't know the 12th Amendment. 12th Amendment is this strange amendment that takes effect when no one gets a majority of the vote in the Electoral College, 270 votes. There's only one ballot taken. There's not multiple. One ballot. It then goes to the House of Representatives. You say, oh, Nancy Pelosi. Nah. Each state gets one single vote. Wyoming gets the same vote as New York. Now, count up the Republican states and tell me who's been reelected president constitutionally.
Well, I mean, so it does seem kind of hopeless.
No. Sorry. No, not at all. They could have done it in 16, right? But the opportunity is there because they now have control of the mechanism. It's going to be harder to overcome the steal, but we can do it. As I said, they used every trick in the book in Wisconsin. They changed the laws. They changed the voter ID laws, and they stole 2016 from Hillary Clinton by 21,000 votes out of 3 million in Wisconsin by removing students and African Americans. They're doing it again this year. But in 18, students and African Americans said, okay, you're making it difficult for us to vote. Well, guess what? We're going to do it anyway. We're going to stand in lines. We're going to go get the IDs. We are going to vote. And they voted the vote thieves at the in the state house out of office. Unfortunately, due to massive gerrymandering, they couldn't get rid of the Republican legislature. And it's not whether I'm Republican or Democrat. I'm nonpartisan, I got to tell you. But the problem is that most people in Wisconsin voted Democratic, yet the legislature is Republican because of the way they drew the lines, which is also disgusting. Look, the voters should pick the candidates. The candidates shouldn't be picking the voters. And that's what's happening. And so, yes, it's grim. It's difficult. Get over it. Get over it. This is about joining the resistance. This is more than voting. This is the resistance. What you have to do, it is about creating this new American revolution. That there's nothing less. You're going to have to work hard to get your ballot and to get it counted. Make sure you're registered. Everyone you know is registered. Make sure you get that ballot. You may have to go into the offices to get it. And by the way, don't try not to drop it off. I don't know where you are, in New York or in Connecticut, New Jersey, wherever. Try to drop it off at a drop box. If they don't have drop boxes from your voting officials, then drop it off at the county clerk's office. I'm sorry. I know that that's sounds completely crazy, but if you want your vote counted, and one of the things that they will do when you go to your county clerk's office with your mail-in ballot, they'll verify your signature. You say, well, what the heck does that mean? They will say that your vote is valid right there in front of you, no matter when you bring it in, even when you bring it in early. They will validate your ballot. Why is that important? I just told you. 1 in 10 mail-in ballots is challenged when it's received, because you got all these GOP vote snatchers who are going to sit there and go, I question that signature. I question that voter's address. I question that voter. That voter's on the inactive list. Da 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 da. And that's the games that they'll be playing. So you have to overcome that.
Well, you know, my local board of elections is an hour and 15 minutes away. A drive of an hour and 15 minutes away.
Got something else to do?
Well, I'm sorry.
This ain't going to be easy. I'm telling you. So put it. How many people can you socially distance safely in your car? A couple on the roof, maybe. But I'm telling you. Yeah, I know. Look, in Los Angeles here, you can register. If they remove you from the voter rolls, it used to be that you could register on the day of the election. Except it's a 2-hour drive in each direction to the county seat in Los Angeles from where I am. And yes, so it's difficult. I just told you, John Lewis went across the Pettus Bridge and almost died, right? It beat his head in. I'm not asking you to march 50 miles to Montgomery. I'm not asking you to get your head beat in. I am asking you to drive to your county office. I know it's not as easy as wandering down to your local schoolhouse and filling out a ballot. I know it's not as easy as hoping your ballot will arrive. And when it does, just pick and lick. Pick the president, lick the stamp, and you go. No, it's going to be a little tougher than that. In some cases, some people will find it that they have an easy time voting. A lot of people find, especially if you're young, that it ain't.
Wow. Well, Greg Palast, as always, it's been just terrific to have you on the show.
You say terrific or horrific?
I'd say terrific and terrifying. How Trump Stole 2020, let's hope that that title does not wear well after November 3rd. Thank you so much for talking with us here again on Writer's Voice.
Thank you, Francis.
Greg Palast. Go to writersvoice.net for links to more about how to protect your vote. In his interview with us, Greg Palast mentioned attorney Robert Fitrakis. In 2016, I went to a conference where Fitrakis was speaking about problems with unaccountable voting machines and aired a segment on Writer's Voice. Let's hear that segment again. Did you know that a recent study by Harvard and the University of Sydney, Australia, found that the U.S. had the worst elections of any long-established democracy? We ranked dead last out of the 47 countries. Whoever is your preferred candidate, this is something that should concern you. The right to vote is practically a defining feature of our identity as Americans. Heck, didn't we invent democracy? I've become increasingly concerned about election integrity after my experience as a poll worker in the New York primary April 19th. All us workers at our polling station were shocked by the unusually high numbers of voters purged from the rolls. Many voted by provisional ballots, most of which were not counted. I know that because 2 weeks later, I watched the count of the provisional ballots from the election district I worked at and discovered that 80% of the Democratic provisional ballots had been disqualified. So last week, I attended a panel on election integrity in New York City. Next week, I'll bring you my interview with one of the panelists, Jonathan Simon, about his book, Code Red. But in the time we have left today, I'll play a clip for you from the presentation of another panelist, attorney, political science professor, and election integrity expert, Bob Fitrakis. He's the author of numerous books. His latest, co-written with Harvey Wasserman, is The Strip and Flip Selection of 2016. Stripping refers to multiple methods of stripping citizens of their right to vote. Flipping the vote happens on electronic voting machines. The vast majority of Americans vote on these machines, most of which are more than 10 years old. Virtually all these machines can easily be hacked. The authors ask, those who dismiss such warnings as conspiracy theory might confront this simple question. How will the electronic vote count in the 2016 election be verified? The answer is simple. It can't be. In the meantime, we've already seen deeply disturbing signs of the strip-and-flip scam in the 2016 primaries, the authors say. All have been to the detriment of the Bernie Sanders campaign.
Shockingly, the Clinton campaign has more suspect elections than did George Bush, and we haven't completed the process yet. And I'm not accusing the Clinton people of manipulating the election. I think there may be some people like ES&S that really like, and ES&S is partly owned by a man named Warren Buffett through the Omaha World Herald, which owns a company involved in 80% in one way or others through central tabulators or through computers. So we don't really know who's doing this. All we know is that if the universal laws of statistics weren't suspended only in the U.S., the U.S. government would be investigating a dozen elections for Hillary Clinton for fraud, right? That's an absolute fact, a known fact. If you read, there's a 2011 book written on behalf of the AID, the Agency on International Development. What does it do? It goes into great detail how exit polls are the single best tool for indicating election irregularities and election theft. And again, in the United States, somehow these universal laws of statistics don't seem to apply. So the U.S. government has insisted on investigating at least 14 elections. Most of you know about the Ukraine that occurred in 2004, the Orange Revolution. So the U.S. government officially using exit polls, and you can Google this online. I Googled one the other day. Interesting stuff. They had some people in Russia doing exit polls on Putin. And our government doesn't adjust them, right? Our government doesn't assume that the official machines must be right. I mean, after all, what could go wrong with a machine that's a black box that private for-profit partisan companies secretly programmed the computer? Nothing could go wrong there, right? That's faith-based voting. That's push and pray, right? I mean, a trust system. No one would cheat in an American election. And other than all of human history, which indicates that people cheat in their sixth grade class president elections if there's no verification for a homecoming clean vote. I mean, why have verification and transparency, right? Nobody would cheat. And let's talk about some of these companies, right? The overseas voting was counted by Seidel. If you look at Seidel's interlocking directorships, and Mr. Velez, who runs that company, they have interlocking directorships with Nautica, Appleton, Balderton, Carlyle Group, Booz Allen Hamilton. You've got a company, Titan, right, formerly Titan Elson, and those of you who've seen A Rock for Sale, right, when they weren't busy with khaki and some of their employees weren't torturing Iraqis, they were helping to count votes in various ways interlocked with Seidel. So here's the theory of the book. It's quite obvious, right? That which the CIA used to do covertly in the Third World, Church Committee, Pike Committee, what was done there is now being done overtly in the U.S., and essentially it's being done blatantly, and anyone who challenges it is called a conspiracy theorist, right? So these people show up in the 70s, you know, the CIA and their operatives, and admit the 5,000 benign operations. Benign is the term they use, that it wasn't a bloody coup, right? They didn't have to kill 800,000 people in 65 in Indonesia, right? It was benign. What's benign mean? They rigged elections, starting with Italy in 1948. It's all in the public record. And then what happened, we begin to get these odd numbers. Mr. Connell, right, the IT guru there. Where do the odd numbers begin to show up? Not surprisingly, the CIA director runs for president. Yeah. And then in 1988, the first time they use the computers, again, in New Hampshire, they're brought in to New Hampshire, John Sununu, is that Dole's supposed to be winning by 8 points in the tracking polls before the election. He loses by 9. Right? 17-point shift over the weekend, even though there's no historical intervention, right? We work through the list. What's the reason? We can't find a reason, but the Washington Post, in their utter brilliance, came up with one themselves. We weren't anticipating that tremendous grassroots groundswell of preppydom for George W. Bush. That's what they said. There was this groundswell. We weren't able to anticipate, you know, that kind of preppy charisma that was just sweeping throughout New Hampshire. Okay. So every time these things happen, and we'd already been, there's always some explanation, but we'd already been concerned. The first report on the use of computers and central tabulators comes from the Bureau of Standards, Ken Saltman, in 1964, who says, you know, we really shouldn't be counting these votes using these mainframe computers. And he issues the report every 4 years after that, to the point that Ronald Reagan issued a national security directive in the 1980s because a third of the votes were tabulated on one computer system. And he wanted to know if that made him vulnerable. Guess what the answer was? Yeah. Of course it does. If you're centralizing that many votes on computers and you're saying that the software is proprietary, you're designing a system to be hacked.
That was Bob Fitrakis talking at a panel on election integrity on May 20th in New York City. His latest book, co-written with Harvey Wasserman, is The Strip and Flip Selection of 2016. Kamala Harris is the first black woman ever to be chosen as a vice presidential candidate. It's an historic step forward on representation, whether or not she was your preferred choice for the job. In honor of that, I thought it would be nice to hear Maya Angelou recite her wonderful poem, And Still I Rise.
Everyone in the world has gone to bed one night or another with fear or pain or loss or disappointment. And yet each of us has awakened, arisen, somehow made our ablution, seen other human beings, and said, morning, how are you? Fine, thanks, and you? It's amazing. Wherever that abides in the human being, there is the nobleness of the human spirit. Despite it all, black and white, Asian, Spanish, Native American, pretty, plain, thin, fat, vowed or celibate, we rise. You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? Just because I walk as if I have oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like suns and like moons, with the certainty of tides, just like hope springing high, still I rise. Did you want to see me broken, bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries? Does my sassiness upset you? Don't take it so hard just because I laugh. As if I have gold mines digging in my own backyard. You can shoot me with your words. You can cut me with your lies. You can kill me with your hatefulness. But just like life, I'll rise. Does my sexiness offend you? Oh, does it come as a surprise that I dance? As if I have diamonds at the meeting of my thighs. Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past rooted in pain, I rise. A black ocean leaping and wide, welling and swelling, I bear in the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak miraculously clear, I rise. Bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave. I am the hope and the dream of the slave. And so, naturally. There I go rising.
That was Maya Angelou reciting her poem, And Still I Rise, from her volume of poetry of the same title, published in 1978. That's it this week for Writer's Voice. Go to writersvoice.net to listen to or download past shows, plus find out more about our guests or read book excerpts. You can also sign up to get the show delivered straight to your inbox or subscribe to the podcast and the newsletter. I'm your host, Francesca Rhiannon.